The following podcast is brought to you exclusively by the Rad Rob Radio Network. Welcome to Uncancelled with Drake Wirtz, where we put God, family, and country first and challenge the woke cancel culture one episode at a time. Now, please welcome the host of the show, Drake Wirtz, and Rad Rob, Rob Francois.
Hey guys, welcome back to Uncancelled with Drake Wirtz. I'm your host, Rad Rob, Rob Francois. We hope everybody's doing well all around the world. And thank you for being here. It is day five of the 2022 Rad Rumble Week. Royal Rumble on a Saturday this year, which is very, very weird. We're doing about 8 shows in 6 days, so it's a little bit crazy. You hear the laughter of my good friend, Mr. Drake Wirtz. Good evening, sir. How's it going?
Oh, man, I'm blessed and grateful. How are you on this this Royal Rumble-thon that you're going on here, the Rad Rumble?
Tired, yeah. pretty tired, but no, it's always a fun thing to do. I do it every year for the Royal Rumble and for WrestleMania. This year will be Rad Mania 4, so we'll do the same thing, 7 days of shows leading up to WrestleMania. So, yeah, it's fun. It's just something I decided to do when I started podcasting to kind of just give people extra content. But it's good to have you here, and we're going to talk some Royal Rumble. Not usually what we do on this show, but for those of you that don't typically listen, this is a Christian conservative podcast. But tonight we're going to be talking about Royal Rumble. I know you've been a big wrestling fan your whole life.
Yes.
What's your earliest memories of watching the Royal Rumble?
Oh, man. Well, you know, just the whole concept of the Royal Rumble, which I'm sure a lot of our listeners who are wrestling fans know, came from Pat Patterson.
Yep.
You know, just the whole idea of one man enters every 2 minutes. And, you know, with the old Titan time, sometimes that 2 minutes will be 40 seconds or, you know,
yeah.
Being behind the scenes, I know that sometimes that clock needs to be fudged with a little bit just for pay-per-view and drama purposes. But, you know, just as a kid growing up, always fascinated. And just the visual of a ring full of these warriors just battling it out, trying to be the king of the mountain and throw each other over the top rope. It was just always fascinating to me. My earliest memories of a Royal Rumble, you know, it has to be one that is vivid to me, is the 1992 Royal Rumble, which a lot of people would say is the greatest Royal Rumble in history.
Yep.
If you look at the star power, that's unmatched. There was never a Rumble where so many Hall of Famers and you know, top name talent were in one match. I mean, my goodness, you had, you know, Hogan, you had Flair, you had Sid, Undertaker. You know, I think Savage was in there.
Yep.
Oh my, Kerry Von Erich, Texas Tornado, Shawn Michaels, Million Dollar Man. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. British Bulldog,
Roddy Piper.
Yeah, Roddy Piper, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I remember watching that with my dad. And as a kid growing up, you know, I'm a Hulkamaniac, Ultimate Warrior fan, and you know, always cheer for the baby faces, but my dad and his friends, they were cheering for the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. You know, he had just come over from WCW and was the Real World's Champion. And I think he came in at number three, lasted the whole entire time. And they were just cheering. And I was just so mad as a little kid that Ric Flair won, but I'll just never forget that watching that Royal Rumble, which led to WrestleMania 8, which was the first WrestleMania that I attended as a young 7-year-old Hulkamaniac.
That's in
Indianapolis, Indiana, at the Hoosier Dome. So the 92 Royal Rumble is my earliest memories of having a vivid, vividly watching that.
For me, it was 1989. I was 12, almost 13, and that was actually the first pay-per-view I ever saw live on TV.
Okay. So
that was my first. WrestleMania 5 that year was my second. But I just remember the fun and excitement as a kid. I mean, there's no internet. You know, the dirt sheets were around, but I was a kid. I didn't subscribe to any of them.
Yeah.
But you never knew what was going to happen. Back then, I still, you know, I was still kayfabed everything. So sure. I didn't know who was going to come out. Like when when Axe and Smash came out, 1 and 2 of Demolition, and they had to fight each other, I was like, whoa, holy crap. Like, what are the odds of that, right? And I missed them, like, you know, picking their numbers.
A good guy's going to fight a good guy. Whoa.
Yeah, that too. And I missed, you know, the times where they'd pick the numbers. They'd, like, roll the basket, and they'd reach in and grab a number. And, you know, there was some chicanery with Ted DiBiase 1 year. He bought number 30 from Slick. It was really, and then the following year, because of it, he was number one. So it's just kind of cool between like 89 and 90, how they had that continuing storyline. But yeah, man, just seeing all those people in there hanging on the ropes, hanging on the turnbuckles, you don't know who's going to win. And then all the craziness with like Shawn Michaels, hanging off the top rope with 1 foot hitting the ground and
95, Davey,
Davey Boy thought he won and Shawn comes, you know, nips up and comes back in and throws Davey Boy out to win. There's just been so many cool moments. Kofi does his thing every single year, but it's one of my favorite events.
You know what? Another very early memory I have is one that I think gets forgotten about a little bit, but the 94 Royal Rumble from Providence, Rhode Island. That's where Undertaker and Yokozuna had that casket match, and the Undertaker ascended.
Yes.
Yeah. And like 10 heels came out and beat the crap out of the Undertaker. And that's the Owen Bret Hart against the Quebecers. You know, the tension between the Hart brothers really ramped up there. And then, of course, the perfectly timed and perfectly executed Lex Luger and Bret Hart getting eliminated and their feet touching the floor at the same time. You could not have done that any better.
I agree.
Like, that gets forgotten about. That is so difficult to pull off. They did it one take in front of a live crowd. The camera angle was perfect. Both, you know, their feet hit the ground legitimately at the same time. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Just the professionalism and the ability and talent that went into pulling that off between Bret Hart and Lex Luger. That was amazing. And that led to WrestleMania 10, which is another great WrestleMania.
And if you remember, like, Luger was 6'5", and Bret was at least, you know, 5'11", 6 foot maybe.
6'1",
so
maybe,
you really had to kind of time that out because, you know, Lex's feet should have hit first. And then you have the accidental double elimination of John Cena and Batista.
Oh, 2005? Yeah.
Yeah, when they screwed that up and they somehow both hit the floor first and got back in the ring and Vince came out and blew both his quads.
So, blew his quads.
Do you ever hear any stories about that from anybody about how that happened?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, so, I sure did. Yeah, for Charles Robinson told me. So Vince, he came in and then stood up and then he went down, you know. And
he's sitting there.
He's looking at Charles. just so much is going on in the referee's earpieces. But I guess the part that I remember is, you know, Vince wanted to get to the back, kind of walk on his own. And then he got to the back and then he just fell to the ground and just screamed and then – agonizing, excruciating pain. So,
yeah, we were watching it when Hooters used to show the pay-per-views for free.
I remember that. Yeah.
My wife and I went there and had some wings and were watching the pay-per-view, and Vince comes out and hits the ring, and then he's just sitting there. And like, why is Vince McMahon just sitting on his butt in the ring? Like, we couldn't figure it out. Nobody else in the restaurant could figure it out. Come to find out later on what happened. I heard he blew his first quad hitting the ring, but then he blew his second quad out in the back. Did you hear anything to that? Or that's kind
I
of the,
doubt it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it.
And then obviously he told Triple H, you know, I blew both quads and I got back before you did. So it's like always a competition with Vince. But I was at the 2003 Royal Rumble in Boston where Brock Lesnar won. And I remember Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit having an amazing submission match that got standing O from the crowd after the match. Those two just tore the house down. I think that was the year that Shawn Michaels said he wanted to enter first. He got in first. Jericho was supposed to be two, but Christian dressed up as Jericho. And then the real Jericho came in from the crowd and threw Shawn Michaels out. So that was it was kind of a really cool event to go to. And I've been to all the big, you know, I guess they used to call it the big three, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, or big four, WrestleMania, Survivor Series, and SummerSlam. I've had the... had the opportunity to go to all four of those. Did you attend any Royal Rumbles backstage as personnel?
Yes, absolutely. The Royal Rumble in 2016 was the first one that I was a part of, kind of as personnel. That was actually in Orlando. Came earlier that day, just kind of a runner running around, you know, a gopher, so to speak. Hey, they need you here. Hey, they need you here. Oh, right. Hey, knocking somebody's bus. And that's actually when AJ Styles debuted with the company. He had appeared to Ring of Honor the night before, and I'll never forget just the reaction of when his graphic popped up on the Titantron. Folks just went absolutely bananas.
Yeah.
So that was really cool that night. Kevin Owens and Dean Ambrose had a really awesome street fight as well.
Yep.
So that was cool to watch. But yeah, that was my first time being there backstage, and then. Coincidentally, the next year, I want to say it was in San Antonio. I was there backstage as well. NXT we had takeover at the takeover in San Antonio the night before. But there was a guy who just happened to make his way backstage. He just kind of blended in. He just kind of blended in past security, which, I mean, I hate to say, it's kind of easier to do than you would think.
Right.
I mean, if you just kind of look, you know, if you walk around with confidence and yeah, just kind of blend in, then you can look like you're a part of somebody's entourage.
That's true. Just act like you belong there. Like, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You belong there. Yeah. And so this guy walked up next to Jericho and was like, "Hey, here's Jericho. Can we take a picture?" And Jericho looked at me. He's like, "Drake, get this guy out of here." I just like grabbed the dude. And, like, I'm like a referee in my security, but yeah. I just grabbed the dude and like, throw him in, like, I said, "Hey, get this guy out of here." yeah, I was like, "Oh, shoot, Jericho's telling me to throw this guy out. I better get on it fast."
Yeah. So he blew his cover and marked out. See, that's what happens with
did.
The fans.
Yeah,
man.
He did. He just couldn't
help
couldn't
himself.
Contain it.
Yeah.
He saw Chris Jericho and he could not contain it. He could not. Yeah.
Well, if I was him, I'd probably do the same thing as well. I mean, it's Chris Jericho for crying out loud. I mean, what was the typical day like there? Like, when did you have to report? You know, you said your duties were kind of going
for ring crew for Royal Rumble. Usually on pay per views, a lot of time. Set up is the day before. Mm-hmm. They'll have a set day. But sometimes it's, you know, you come in from a live event and you're there. I've had to be there as early as 5 a.m. before.
Wow.
For the build. Because they got to build the lights, trusses, all that stuff. And then you have X amount of time to build the ring real quick with the stagehands. You get the ring up. It's like 11 canvases sometimes that they put on there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, then you're done about 11 call time, usually it'd be about, you know, 12 or 1 o'clock for the talent. You know, you get something to eat, talent comes in, and then it's just all out rehearsal all day. You know, you're on the walkie talkie. "Hey guys, we need Titus O'Neil ringside ASAP," or "Hey, go get Trish Stratus. Tell so-and-so we need him over in medical." You know what I mean? Just, you just go, you know, get some catering, get some food real quick. Then you're rehearsing your match that you're involved in, if there's any kind of other duties that you need to go. And then, you know, about an hour before doors open or when doors open, get dressed, and then you're ready to do the show.
Did you have the opportunity to be at ringside at all or be like an outside ref?
You know what? For the Rumble, that's the one thing I did not get to do.
Mm.
No, I did not. I ran out and helped. They had me because I did some timing at the Rumble.
Yeah,
I did, and then they needed extra referees to help get somebody. It was the Rumble the year that Nia Jax was in the men's match.
Okay,
and she got that one. They needed us to help Randy Orton in the back or something like that, to help somebody in the back. Rollins, I can't remember who it was, but they had us run out there. But that was a long run. It was kind of cool just to take that long run out there. But no, my duties were always whatever the NXT takeover event was that weekend. But you know, I got to be in the presence quite a bit, so
that's pretty cool. And obviously,
the Rumble that in 17 in the Alamo at San Antonio, that was pretty awesome. That was really awesome.
I'm trying to think of who won that year. It all blends together for me at this point.
Was it Roman, maybe?
No,
he wrestled Undertaker at Mania. I'm trying to remember who wrestled for the title at Mania that year.
I'll look it up while we're sitting here. But
So
you said you're doing timing things. Like what? Jeez, I can't even talk. What did that involve?
Like what
did you specifically have to do?
And that's when I was training to do the television timing.
Mm-hmm.
the gorilla position.
Yeah.
So I was just shadowing, doing that there, and learning, you know, how to give times, how to communicate from the truck to the referee, and make sure everything's ran in a timely manner. It's timing live television. You're a producer, making sure the show gets off the air in time, kind of timing out the matches. You know, you're the command center for the whole entire operation.
Randy Orton eliminated Roman Reigns to win that one. Yeah. And you're right. That was in San Antonio. So who did Randy fight that year?
That would have been WrestleMania 33, which was in Orlando. Oh, yes. He wrestled Bray Wyatt that year.
That's right. Was that the year they had like the weird, like worms all over the ring, like the special? Wow, whose idea was it? That had to be a Kevin Dunn deal, or
yes,
that was weird, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So NXT TakeOver would always be the same weekend the last several years. What are your best memories of those? What'd you have for referee duties? What were your big matches? Anything that sticks out in your mind?
Yeah. My goodness. You know, the one that sticks out the most to me would have been is the Rumble. It was in Philadelphia, 2018. I randomly remember years, but 2018, we had TakeOver the night before at the Wells Fargo Center, and Johnny Gargano versus Andrade.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That was a banger. I was main event. I was fortunate to have that match. I mean, just an absolute incredible classic. Not, you know, take it for what it's worth for, you know, whoever kind of, you know, takes stock in these kind of ratings. But Meltzer did give that a 5-star rating, and it was a great match. Just everything was right. I loved working with Andrade, loved working with Johnny, always had great chemistry with those guys. And that match was incredible. That really stuck out to me. That stuck out to me quite a bit. My goodness, the TakeOver that we did in San Antonio, that was really cool as well. But that Johnny Gargano Andrade match, that really stuck out. That's one of my favorite matches I ever had in my whole entire career.
Yeah, I don't understand the what went wrong with Andrade. I mean, that guy had superstar written all over him.
His run in NXT was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
His run in NXT was incredible. He was a great champion. Really, really great champion. Yeah.
How many times
have you heard that? Oh, his run in NXT.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
Do you think it's because he can't cut a promo because he wasn't speaking English very well? Because, you know, Vince isn't very high on people that can't cut
Zelina,
promos.
He had Zelina, though. Zelina was, I mean,
true.
Him and Zelina as a package, they were awesome. You know? They were great. Yeah, she would cheat behind the referee's back and stuff like that. No, they were amazing.
They were very good. I don't know why they split them up. And AEW has done nothing with him, really. And it's just
I drop in and out, but he's just kind of middle of the card there too, right?
Pretty much all their recent signings have been. I don't know if Tony's just trying to play keep away from everybody else. I don't get it, dude. Like, there's such lackluster booking in AEW right now. I just don't understand it.
There was the Rumble, the year of 2019. I'm trying to think where that was. Well, it was at Phoenix, Arizona, maybe.
Yes.
It was. Yeah. Phoenix, Arizona. Yeah. I remember that was awesome because we had access there. Like, it was like a WrestleMania access, but we had it for the Rumble. And so, you know, several days throughout that week, we were doing shows at like a, you know, 8-9 in the morning at Access, and then we had the big TakeOver matches. That was really cool. That TakeOver in Phoenix was awesome. Everything was centralized right there too. The convention center, the baseball stadium, the arena for TakeOver. So that was incredible.
I believe Seth Rollins won that Rumble. Mm-hmm. And I think, did Becky win? Becky eliminated Charlotte. I think that's when Becky pretended to have a knee injury, possibly.
Yeah.
So it's all vague to me, dude. Like, all these years, like when I get old, when you get
the
old,
recent years,
everything just jumbles together and it's hard to remember. I'm trying to think of TakeOver that year.
Look up what the TakeOver about. For some reason, that's escaping me.
Takeover Phoenix. Let's see. We had Io Shirai and Kairi Sane defeated Marina Shafir and Jessamyn Duke. The Forgotten Sons defeated Street Profits. The War Raiders defeated the Undisputed Era, O'Reilly and Strong. Matt Riddle defeated Cassius Ohno. I think that was Matt Riddle's debut, if I'm not mistaken.
It was. I had that. I did have that match. Yes.
Johnny Gargano defeated Ricochet for the North American Championship. Shayna Baszler defeated Bianca Belair. And Tommaso Ciampa took on Aleister Black. And Ciampa retained his title. So, yeah, that's, you know.
Yeah, I had the Cassius Ohno and Riddle, and then I had the War Raider, Viking Raiders, whatever they were calling them, versus Undisputed Era.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I really loved the War Raiders in NXT, and then they just made them kind of a comedy act on the main roster. But, again, Vince just doesn't know what to do with the stars.
The following year, we actually, this was January 2020, obviously 2 months before the whole world shut down.
Yep.
But we had the Worlds Collide pay-per-view that was in Houston that same weekend as the Rumble, day before, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
That was a sweet show. That was really awesome and an incredible memory of mine. It was because I had the Imperium versus the Undisputed Era, eight-man tag.
Yep.
Very, very early on in the match, Alexander Wolf gets knocked out cold.
I remember that, yes.
Knocked out cold. And so, and I noticed pretty much right away. And so I got his shoulder up. And then, Bobby Fish, who was in the ring with him, did not realize what was going on. So I stopped Bobby and got Bobby back.
Yep.
And then, I had my microphone on. So I flipped my mic on and said, "Hey, Alexander Wolf is done. We need a doctor out here now." I'm keeping him calm and making sure I'm holding his head and neck, make sure he's breathing and everything. So the doctor came out and got him, but we still have about 25 more minutes of a match that we have to do with 4-on-3. So then it was absolute chaos after that. So I'm communicating from one side of the ring to the other. They're communicating a lot of stuff to me. Some stuff has happened to happen on the fly. And, it's up to the referee at that point to kind of keep everything cool, keep everything collected, keep everything connected. Ended up getting the match finished and everything. But I'll never forget, Rob, after that, like when I got to the back, Triple H came up to me and like made a point to take his headset off and come over to me. And he said, "Thank you. Thank you for keeping that together out there." There were a few times that he did that, and I thought that was really cool. And then Kyle O'Reilly made it a big point also in front of Triple H to say, "Hey, Drake was the glue that held that together out there. He was amazing. We could not have done that without him." So I thought that was really awesome as well. It's one of my fondest memories. It was unfortunate that Alexander Wolf got hurt.
No kidding.
But like he, it wasn't a serious injury. He recovered. Everything was all good. So, that was a pretty cool memory, that Worlds Collide pay-per-view that we did. That last 2 months before the pandemic set in, there were some really sweet matches. Like January and February of 2020, there were some good TVs like going into what was going to be that WrestleMania that year. So NXT had some really good stuff going on as well. We did a takeover in Portland in February, the month before. Like that whole time, it's something that could be encapsulated in a book. Just that January, February, and then March, everything closed down. Now we're having TVs at an MP Performance Center. Like, dude, it was. I'm glad I got to be a part of it, to live through it. But man, it was the beginning of the end.
Yeah, I never asked you about that. Like, how was that with the empty arenas? Like, how strange was that? Well,
I ref the first match of the WWE COVID era. It was March 13th, 2020. So it kind of a funny note, and this isn't necessarily Royal Rumble related. So I apologize for kind of going off track here, but it's kind of cool because in a roundabout way, it's connected with the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. So, that Wednesday, March 11th, I want to say it was NXT. We had a live fan appreciation night at the Performance Center. we'd heard about this COVID stuff, right? But we got a packed performance center going on, TV going on that night. As the show is, we're in the last like 30 minutes of the show. We get word because SmackDown was going to be at the Little Caesars Arena in Detroit on Friday. So I remember these details. They were going to be at the Little Caesars Arena on that Friday in Detroit. We get word from production. Little Caesars Arena has canceled SmackDown on Friday. It's canceled. Like, everybody's like, whoa, the arena canceled? Like, they canceled SmackDown? Like, what are we going to do? And then we got word from production, we're going to do SmackDown on Friday at the Performance Center. We're like, oh, snap. And so, like, I went to Triple H and Matt Bloom. I said, hey, like, we, you know, with the ring here, we got plenty of tape. We can make the ropes blue. We can, you know, we can – I know we might not be able to get trucks down here. Like, we didn't know what was going on in the world. We
were,
you know, we'll make this look as much like SmackDown with what we have here. So, yeah, okay, cool, thank you. And then I remember the next morning, you know, we came in, we made the ropes blue like SmackDown, and then the following day we get word, okay, SmackDown's going to be here, but there's not going to be any fans, like no fans whatsoever, and then they're not flying, they're only flying in talent that needed to be there,
right.
And so we would take 205 Live before SmackDown during that time. And so I ref the 10-man tag on 205 Live. It was the first match to happen. Nobody in the arena except the crew and John Cena was watching it by the wall. And it was so – that first time we did it, it was so crazy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, obviously you've heard it ad nauseum, how much wrestling goes off of adrenaline. And,
right.
And for referees too, you know, when we slide down for that big false finish, when the crowd's right there with you, the way I like to explain it is – you know, if we're making music, you know, if pro wrestling is music, the commentators, you know, they lay the lyrics, the wrestlers, they're making the music, making the beats, the referee is kind of like the composer, you know what I mean? They're making the flow go together. And so when we're there, one, two, like the crowd's right there, you know, we feed off of that too. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And so when that's not there, and then just communicating in an incognito way is a lot.
Right. Yeah.
When there's no crowd noise. So it was just, everything hurts a little more for the talent. And dude, look, honestly, we thought it was going to be a 1 or 2 week thing. You know what I mean? We're like, okay. I remember like guys were walking through like afraid to shake each other's hands. Like that's when everybody was doing the elbow thing.
Yep.
And then, dude, and I got to tell you, during the first like, I'd say March, April. I'd say the first 2 months of during that whole time, like WWE, like they were not selling for it at all. Like no masks, nothing like that. Like there was no kind of enforcing. Like they were trying to get more people in there, and you know what the protocols was early on, dude. You go in and they take your temperature and you sign off saying you feel okay.
That's
like
it.
That was the protocols early on. I mean, it was just like, it was no big deal. It's like, okay, we don't have to travel. We're just going to do TV here. They're going to take our temperature. Like there was no testing, nothing like that. It was just like, hey, you know, take your temperature and like, have you left the country lately? Okay, great. All right, cool. You're good to go. Like that's all it was.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden one person tested positive. And then everything just changed. Everything changed. Then it was testing multiple times a week, and then it was mandatory masks and mandatory contact tracing, and don't be in any crowds outside of work.
Yep.
You know, this, that, the other. So it just, that's when everything changed. But the first couple months, dude, like they weren't selling for it at all. Like it.
And I remember reading about that, and it's like, okay, that does make sense given the fact that, you know.
And I got to tell you, and like everybody thinks I'm like this big huge, like. I'm not sure how you were in March and April of 2020, but like the first couple of weeks, you know, dude, I remember I wore like an N95 mask and gloves. Like I didn't like the first like week or two, you know what I mean? And then like once after Easter passed and I realized, okay, this isn't what everybody's making. Like, you know what I mean? That's when I realized, okay, this is stupid. But like the first like week or two, you know, everybody's like, yeah, wear a mask, and like I wore the gloves and everything. And like I remember Mark Carano was like, you look like you're gonna rob a damn bank. What's wrong with you?
I'm actually more extreme than you. I said, screw it. I'm not doing anything. I don't.
Yeah.
If I go, I go. If it's my time, yeah. It's my time.
Yeah, for like a week or two, I was about, and then all of a sudden I was like, okay, yeah. this is a big gimmick. Yeah.
I remember Jordan Devlin got stuck overseas. He was the cruiserweight champion. He wasn't able to come back. So they had to have an interim tournament to see who the champion was going to be. There's a lot of guys that got stuck overseas, that couldn't come back.
Walter, some guys had made it over here and then they had to fly back real quick before travel got shut down again.
Yeah, it was just a weird time, and it was weird as a fan just watching these events in Raws and SmackDowns and NXTs with nobody there. And then they had plants in the crowd. I'm assuming there were plants. Supposedly there were fans in the crowd, but you know, when they were all like standing around, like
that was students.
There were students. Okay, that's what I thought. But that was weird too, man.
Those were long tapings. They bet multiple weeks of Raw, multiple weeks of SmackDown. Yeah,
whose bright idea was that?
Pardon?
Whose bright idea was that?
What? Come on, pal.
Yeah, that's what I figured. It was just awkward watching these people stand with like their wrestlers merch on and stuff like that, just standing over their mask.
If something went wrong, they would stop everything because it wasn't live a lot of times. So Vince had the opportunity to make it perfect, and so he would stop, redo something. You know what I mean? It was wild.
I always said it was like, COVID was Vince McMahon's dream. Like, other than like losing money, not touring and all that, but like he was able to have the cinematic matches, and we know how over the top and just how Vince is. That had to be like his favorite storytelling time when he's able to do like the Bray Wyatt stuff and the Money in the Bank, where we're gonna climb the top of the Titan Tower. We're gonna get them. It's just, that had to be like, it's part of the pun, a wet dream for Vince McMahon, because that's just right in his wheelhouse. That's sports entertainment the way he always wanted it to be. Getting back to the Rumble, is there anything else that kind of sticks out in your mind of like your favorite moments? Like, I always thought the Chris Benoit elimination of Big Show was kind of cool, where he had to like kind of drag him over the ropes with a headlock. John Cena's surprise return after his neck injury. I don't think anybody expected him to be there at MSG. Anything else that kind of, it's a fan that sticks out in your mind?
Oh my gosh, yeah, Royal Rumble 2000, the Dudley Boys versus the Hardy Boys in that TLC match.
Oh, yeah. Also,
Cactus Jack versus Triple H, that insane street fight where
very
Triple H
gave
Cactus Jack a pedigree and a thumbtack face first.
And he got that, like a piece of a broken pallet stuck in his leg.
Yeah. You know what else? I think it's the Royal Rumble 2007 where Kane eliminated Sabu by chokeslamming him through a table.
That was really
cool. That was really awesome. I enjoyed that. Oh my goodness gracious! And Shawn Michaels in 95. You know what I mean? Doing going the distance, doing the having 1 foot up at the end, and then coming back in and blasting British Bulldog over. Like I'll never forget watching that live. Like that was really cool, Royal Rumble. That was really cool.
I was a big Shawn Michaels, huge Shawn Michaels fan. He was my favorite. So when he won that first Rumble, I was like, I didn't care if he's a bad guy or not. I was just a super Shawn Michaels fan.
Of course, Steve Austin's, he won 3 Royal Rumbles. Yep. Of course, Steve Austin's 1997 Royal Rumble at the Alamo Dome, just that great run that he went on. It's just, there's so many. There were so many. It's a tentpole event. You know what I mean? It's just one of the events that everybody looks forward to. Even if you're not a full-time fan, you want to tune in for the Royal Rumble.
Which I always do, because I've told you I can't watch the weekly product anymore because it's just so bad. But I always look forward to WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble. I watch most pay-per-views, and I'll watch clips on YouTube to kind of catch up on things that left off. But I'm really looking forward to this year's Rumble with Brock Lesnar taking on Bobby Lashley. We got Roman Reigns taking on Seth Rollins. Any predictions going forward? Anything you've heard?
No.
just make a just guess.
Just going to be great matches. Yeah.
any idea who might win the Rumble, you think?
No. Who do you think is going to be like the surprise entrance?
I think there's going to be a few. And we know Mickie James is going to be in the Women's Rumble, and there's a whole big thing about the Forbidden Door, and she's an Impact Knockout superstar, and she's allowed to be in the Rumble this year. But so everyone thinks, maybe we'll get, AEW guys in here. Maybe we'll get MLW guys. I don't know. I don't know who's going to be surprised. I heard The big rumor today is that Mark Calloway, the Undertaker, will be there. They don't know in what capacity. But you never know if you hear that gong go off. And
you never know.
You never know, dude. You just...
He never really officially retired, right?
I mean, he did. He had a send-off at Survivor Series during the pandemic, right. And there was nobody there. And it was the weirdest thing ever. And I think a guy like that deserves a little bit more pomp and circumstance.
Yeah, that was at the Thunderdome, right?
Yeah, it was the Thunderdome. Yeah, Undertaker faded off in the distance with nobody there. Just very, very weird. So, yeah, he's there. I don't know. You never know who's going to show up. They usually have a couple older stars that come back that may not have been there before, you know, in a long time. Who knows? Maybe RVD will show up. I mean, they always have like those nice nostalgia things.
What about Chris Masters? Let's get Chris Masters.
Dude, have you seen him lately? He looks good. Like he is just built like a brick house, man. I'm telling you.
Good.
Yeah, it looks like he got his life back under control and he's clean and he's still wrestling indies as far as I know. I don't know. I think to me, Kevin Owens should win because he never got that really, really good run. He got, you know, the belt handed to him by Triple H, you know, when Seth turned. Got squashed by Goldberg before WrestleMania that year. So I would like, and to reward him for re-signing, I would give him the shot at winning. But
I bet he signed a sweet deal.
I bet he did. Him and Sammy both re-signed, which is cool. People thought they're going to go to AEW, but Vince rewards people when they're loyal, so you never know what might happen there. But no matter what, I'm waiting to see what Kofi does this year because what hasn't he done yet? He always has to have one spot where he doesn't get eliminated. And like you say, in front of live TV, how hard is that, dude? Like, did Kofi pull off whatever spot?
Some really incredible stuff.
Amazing stuff and not screw it up at all. Like, you know, don't sleep on Kofi. He's a pro's pro. And that's really hard to do. And like you said, to pull off the Rumble, whether it's timing or remembering your spots and not screwing up your spots on live TV, it's, you know, for the most part, they're about 99% on of not screwing things up over the years. So it's a well-oiled machine. I'm always going to be a WWE fan, even though they treated you like crap, jerk.
Oh, no, that's all okay.
But, I mean, I'm always going to watch the big events.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to the
To the Rumble. Yeah, I mean, they're big. You know, billion-dollar corporation. I had a good 7 years there, and
that's a good run, dude.
Made some great money, but now God's got me on another path, and we're fulfilling the calling He's got for me, man. And you know, it's something. You know, my pastor talked about this today, like, and I've really looked at frame this lately. It's like we don't frame success the way the world frames it, like. Success is fulfilling God's will for our life and being faithful to Him. And so, yes, I enjoy watching wrestling. You know, like I said, I'll just about every night I fall asleep watching some kind of old wrestling. It's just by habit and by nature.
Me too.
You know, God's got other plans in store for me right now. So everything happens for a reason, my brother.
That's true. Now, I have to ask you because they always say never say never in wrestling. And I know you said you don't want another run, but let's just play Fantasy Booker for a second. If Johnny Ace called you up tomorrow and said, "We need you for the Rumble. We need some help backstage. We're shorthanded. We got people out. Can you come back to help us out?" What would you say?
Sorry, I apologize. I don't have time.
Sorry. My kid's got a softball game. I didn't think you would ever go back because you're not the same old, like, you know, looking for money. I need one more run, brother. That's not for you. But I just thought I'd kind of throw you off your game there for a second.
I wouldn't ever put out a question like doing another death match someday. I mean, I would never. But
true,
I would never put that out of the question.
True. Well, I mean, Terry Funk retired 35 times. So I mean,
exactly.
Well, I mean, you still got your health, right? Like, you've done some crazy stuff in your career, and it's you're lucky that you can still walk. I assume you feel good every day. You don't have any, you don't have like any lingering issues or injuries from all those.
I mean, some back issues from all those concrete bumps.
I bet, yeah.
Other than that, you know, I'm good, man. I took hundreds and hundreds of unprotected chair shots too. Like everything that WWE tells you not to do.
Yeah.
Like I did.
Are you going to write a book when it's all said and done, do you think? Before you forget all your memories?
Man, I don't know. But yeah, if I got time.
I mean, it's a great story to tell, you know, just how you started, being down in the dumps, being an addict, and then getting out of it, pulling yourself up, getting a big run in the biggest company in the world, and, you know, getting let go because of your beliefs and your skin color, and then, you know, hopefully becoming, you know, in the House of Representatives in Florida, and who knows after that. So maybe 20 years from now, when you're president of the United States, you'll write a book.
I'm a statesman. Yeah.
I tried to lead you in one direction. That's my bad. Well, good show, brother. Always fun to talk wrestling with you. I know we don't do it a lot on this show.
Yes.
But it's always fun to pick your brain because you were there and you have a lot of great experiences that nobody else.
And I guess that, you know, the Royal Rumble match, it has multiple producers assigned to it because there is a lot of moving parts that have to happen. So, you know, so much respect and so much hats off for everybody that's involved in the Rumble match, everybody that's involved in the production. It is a giant wheel that has to keep moving. And I'm blessed to be a small, excuse me, blessed to have been a small part of it.
Where can people find you on social media and let them know about your campaign and what you got going on here? Any appearances you got in the coming weeks?
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook at Vote Drake Wirtz. Sign up for my newsletter, my weekly e-blast at votedrake.com. That'll have a direct feed to all events that we have going on here in the Central Florida area. You can also there, I invite you to prayerfully consider making a donation to my campaign. It's campaign season, hot and heavy right now. So we need to get yard signs. We need to make sure we're keeping the lights on in the campaign office and, you know, paying for campaign consultants and all that stuff that, you know, all that not fun stuff that comes with running for office. Yeah. And so I'd highly appreciate a donation of any size to the campaign. Yeah, man, that's where you can find me. You can also find me on Instagram at TheDrakeWirtz. And yeah, this is fantastic. I'm glad to have been a part of the Rad Rumble.
Yes, sir. It's almost over too. This is day six or day five. So one more day. I got the Rumble pregame and postgame show, and then it's a wrap for the Rad Rumble 2022. One more question about your campaign. It's a lot to do, and I know you have a lot of great people around you. But I mean, are you ready? Are you ready to make that run and grab that brass ring?
We're going for it, man. We're going for it.
That I love.
We have redistricting going on, and so the scope of my race might change quite drastically.
No kidding.
Yeah, so it could go from me going against the Democrat incumbent to having a more conservative district, but going against an establishment rhino Republican.
Well, so, you're young, you have fresh views, and I think people are looking for a change. I think this is the perfect storm for you to take that seat, brother. So we hope it happens.
Let's do it, man.
All right, guys, that's another edition of Uncancelled with Drake Wirtz. I hope you enjoyed this show, and I hope you enjoyed everything else that I put out this week. I do it all for you guys to entertain y'all, and it's always a passion project of mine. So thank you for all your support this week, and we will be back here, Drake and I, for another edition, back on the regular schedule and the regular platform. Of Uncancelled next week. Take care, guys.
Thanks, guys. God bless.
Thanks for listening to Uncancelled with Drake Wirtz. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at UncancelledPod. You can also send us an email at UncancelledPodcast@gmail.com. You've been listening to Uncancelled with Drake Wirtz right here on the Rad Rob Radio Network.